Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show, where I welcome Paul Olinger. And Paul is a writer, comedian, and podcaster. After retiring at 42 and finding himself bored out of his mind, Paul started the Crazy Money Podcast, where he explores the connection between money, happiness, work, and meaning. And in his one-on-one conversations with some of the world's most interesting people, Paul helps uncover the true sources of happiness in life and what money, success, and fame can and can't do for us. And today, Paul and I talk a little bit of a different podcast, but we talk about meaning, money. We definitely loop in relationships, but something that I'm passionate about and that I feel very thankful for in having a life that I love. I get to do what I want, when I want, with who I want most of the time. And that was a very deliberate thing that was instilled in me when I was a young teenager by my parents. And it brings me a lot of joy and personally and in my relationships to be able to do that. And Paul and I talk about kind of how to pursue that path. So if you're tuning in, you're a younger lad or lady out there, then great. You know, you can start to set yourself up now. If you're older in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, it's never too late. And there's ways to do that, that Paul gives some specific examples of some things that you can do to start living a life that resonates more with what you want. And you know, life happens and sometimes we're not able to do that. And like I said, I have a lot of gratitude for being born to the parents I was born to in a relatively privileged life. So I want to make sure that that's there because I understand not everyone does. But even if you don't, you have the ability to live the life of your dreams and start that. So I really enjoyed this positive and affirming conversation with Paul. I know you guys will too. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy today's show. Hey, Paul, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Chase.
Today, we're going to have kind of a free-flowing conversation about a few different things. And I thought a good place for us to start would be having you share with our listeners the podcast that you do and why you chose to have a theme centered around the connection between money, fame, finding meaning, and happiness. And we'll loop in relationships to that, and then we'll start there.
Awesome. I started the podcast Crazy Money 5 years ago because I'd had this unique life experience that, you know, growing up, your parents, your mom always says, you know, money won't make you happy. And I grew up in a comfortable middle class family, six kids, two parents stayed together for 55 years, solid family. But money was always, it was always like stress around money. And like that, like there wasn't enough. And I think that was because my parents were like depression era parents that were always like, that felt like they were 1 week away from going broke or whatever. And I developed this attitude that like someday I'm going to make a lot of money and then I won't have to stress because I'll have a lot of money and there won't be any stress. And what happened was I went on, long story short, I became an early employee at Facebook in 2007. And through our stock option program, I made a lot of money, millions of dollars. And I was more money than I ever imagined having. And like a knucklehead, I quit my job at 42 years old. I just retired at 42. And I didn't have a plan. I just was like, oh, meaning will find me. And it was fun for 3 to 6 months. And then one morning I dropped my kids off at school and came back to my house and I was just sitting there and I looked at my email box and like nobody was emailing me. No customers were complaining. No colleagues were like commiserating. Nobody was asking for my opinion. And I realized I was like, oh, I've just isolated myself because I thought that work was just about a paycheck. It wasn't about more than that. And I had all these experiences where I was like, it's not that money doesn't make you happy because you definitely need a certain amount of money to live. You have to have your expenses covered. You can't be stressing about your car breaking down or paying next month's rent. That is just no way to live. But beyond that, making a lot of money doesn't come with the psychic you know, feelies that you think it's going to bring. It's fun, but like at a certain point you go, okay, that's nice. But it's not like it makes me feel like I've just achieved nirvana like I thought it would. And so I started reading everything I could about money and meaning. And I learned about all these things in our brains and the way they work. It makes us think money will make us happy. And in the end, our brains are wrong. And so that was the thing I wanted to explore, the human experience around money and happiness and why what we think will make us happy generally doesn't.
I love that theme and that thread. And certainly money, we've had a few episodes where we talk about money and relationships and how we all have different relationships with money and how when we're with a partner, we got to navigate that. That's a huge thing. I want to kind of take us down that road of finding meaning and how much in the conversations you're having and with yourself, relationships, how much that comes up in this finding meaning. Because for me, I put a lot of emphasis in ideas around this, not so much money, but this idea that if I just have the relationship of my dreams, then I'll be happy. I think that's another thing. Once our baseline, you know, like you said, money income is being met. Have you found any common themes as it relates to your guests or with yourself, relationships coming into the picture?
Well, I mean, I think the common theme is that if there's chaos in your life, it's going to be harder to be happy. And that chaos can have a bunch of different sources. And one of those is financial chaos. One of those is relationship chaos. One of them is health, you know, chaos from your health. And that if you're trying to deal with chaos, it's going to be hard to live like a calm, peaceful, you know, not freaked out lifestyle all the time. Let's go back to relationships, because one of the things when you start reading about the sources of happiness in life, you know, there's a study, I'm sure you've heard it referenced if you haven't actually read it or talked about it specifically, the Harvard Longitudinal Study that measures human happiness in Harvard students and then graduates over the course of the last like 80 years. And they start studying the habits, the diets, the physical, the exercise patterns of all these students, and then they measure their happiness over decades until they die. And it's the largest and longest longitudinal study of happiness and lifestyle that's ever been done. And what they found is that the source of money or the sources of happiness and fulfillment are not money, they're not jobs, it's about relationships. The number one, do you have a good relationship with your partner? Do you have a good relationship with your children, with your friends, with your parents, et cetera? And that, you know, you look at people with healthy friendships live longer and are happier than people without healthy relationships. And so money comes into it when another source of happiness is a sense of purpose. And sometimes that purpose is work. Sometimes that purpose is other people in your life. But it becomes pretty clear that like being rich and having bad relationships is not a recipe for happiness. And those relationships could be with your partner or spouse. They could be with your children. It could be with other people. But it's like having healthy relationships, that's what we're here for, man. Like we're here for friendships. We're here to be with other people. And that was one of the surprises about quitting my job. I isolated myself by accident. Work was providing all this great way to interact with other very smart, motivated people. Sure, there was stress. Sure, there was sometimes competition with coworkers. Sure, there was conflict. But in general, we thrive when we're interacting with other people. And if we're lucky enough to work with other smart, motivated, interesting people, well, then that's even better.
How did you find your sense of purpose after leaving the job?
Well, the first thing I did was to go look for another job. And so, even though, and I want to just say, I'm wildly fortunate to have the option whether to work or not to work or to work on my terms. But the first thing I did was, okay, I got to go get another job, because I was using the framework of how I had measured success up to that point, which is good title, interesting company, big paycheck. That's how we think about, that's kind of like when somebody asks you, especially in the United States, what do you do? Or they want to know who you are, they ask, what do you do? And so the easiest way to have a good answer to the question, what do you do, or non-complicated answer to the question, what do you do, is to have a job and to have an impressive job. Be like, oh, that person's, they must be important and happy because they're the vice president of sales or blah, 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 whatever. Even though I really didn't, I knew I had done stand-up comedy for 2 years in Los Angeles before I went back to Facebook. And I knew deep in my heart, that's what I wanted to do, but I was scared. I was scared of failing at comedy again. I didn't know where to start. I was scared of putting my stake in the ground and saying, having my other colleagues that I'd worked, my other very accomplished colleagues that I'd worked with over the last at Yahoo and then at Facebook, and having go, well, what's he doing again? He's doing this comedy thing again. I was worried too much about what other people thought. And so I went back to work at a job that I wasn't super excited about. And I did that for a year. And I was like, you know what? I have this beautiful opportunity to work on my terms. And if I don't chase my dream at this point, it's a dereliction of duty. It's a dereliction of my dreams. Like, I know I want to do stand-up comedy. I just have to sack up and go risk failing. And so after I left that job, I started writing every day and I started going to open mics for the first time in years. And that's what I've been doing for the last 10 years.
Is there any advice that you could give someone when they're facing that fear? Maybe there's someone listening and they're like, yeah, this resonates. I'm in this job that I don't like. I really want to be doing this, but X, Y, Z, we can always find a reason to not do it. And again, everyone has different circumstances. We can be fortunate and have the security, but I think there can always be a reason not to do the thing. Or there's some kid listening who's 20 years old and they have a fresh start, but they're still feeling the pressure to go down a career path. What would you tell either of those people?
Well, I think that for that 20-year-old, envision yourself at 40 in a job that you hate. Okay? Because, you know, I took a path of, I came out of business school in 1997 with what would be $150,000 in today's dollars worth of student loans. I had done stand-up. I told jokes at a talent show at business school, and I was like, oh my God, I want to be a stand-up comedian. That's what I want to do. And then I was like, oh, but I have these financial, like, I've got this financial obligation. I got to pay these loans back. I'm very old-fashioned in that regard. And so I was like, I got to go get a job. And I took a job in the coolest industry I could think of, which was the digital media business. And it all worked out very, very well. But like, to that 20-year-old, if you have a dream, it's going to take you 10 years to figure out how good you can be at that dream, whether you want to be a chef, whether you want to be a novelist, whether you want to be a stand-up comedian or start your own business. It's going to take you a decade probably to figure out if there's anything there. And that's the 10,000 hour rule. And one of the things about the downside of the 10,000 hour rule is that if you put in the time, it doesn't mean you're going to be rich or famous. You will be better than you were before, but there's no guarantee, and you don't get that time back. So the best advice I could give any 20-year-old is keep your expenses as low as possible for as long as possible. Do not start spending money that you don't have to get stuff that is just going to reduce your flexibility earlier than later. If you want to have career optionality, if you want to be able to pull the ripcord at 28 or 32 and say, I'm going to go do this other thing, put your money in the bank, live small, and, you know, don't go buying cars you can't afford and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, your stuff ends up owning you and you become a prisoner to the debt that you have. And it might not seem like a big deal now, but at some point in the future, you're going to be like, I'd really like to go do this other thing, live in Europe for 2 years, or, you know, start a camp or whatever. And debt's a prison that won't let you go chase your dreams.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one. Estrocontrol. Relationship advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estrogen Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estrogen Control eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estrogen Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estro Control is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estro Control works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's happymammoth, MAMMOTH.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Yeah, I feel very fortunate myself. I think sometimes we don't choose these things. I didn't choose to have the parents I did or where I grew up. And I feel very fortunate to have had this idea that if something feels good to me, if something lights me up, do that thing. And yes, at the end of the day, like, I've got to pay bills. You have to figure it out. But I think if you really sit with yourself, or you might just have it. Like for me, I played basketball up through college for a while. I wanted to play professionally. And I was just like, I'm going to do this. And this is what feels good. And I think, but so many times, cultural conditioning, societal pressures, our parents pressure us to go down this road of pursuing something that's not our passion, that doesn't make us happy. And again, we're weighing that with security. But I also think fear setting is a valuable tool in this of going, what is the worst thing that could happen? You know, if I pursue stand-up comedy, you know, I've got some money saved. The worst thing that happens is, shit, I'm going to have to ask my parents for a loan in a year and I'll restart. But at least I know I tried. But I think if you go in with conviction and you might not be wildly successful selling out Madison Square Garden, but you can make it work. And to me, it's also about not having regrets. And if it means through your 20s, you do that and then you're 33 and it didn't quite work out, then you go, okay, now I got to get a random job and to pay the bills. But at least you tried. Everyone has different relationships with risk, and that might just be super scary. But yeah,
I think that, you know, you mentioned earlier, what about that person who's in their career and a job they hate, and they have these dreams? I think one of the things is to say, you don't have to quit your job 100% to be to try to be a stand-up comedian. In fact, I would say, if do it part-time for 5 years before you even consider chasing your dream. Because, you know, I had all these ideas in my head while I was working at Facebook. Like, I want to learn how to speak Spanish. Like, I really want to learn how to speak the language. And this job is preventing me from doing that. And so when I quit work, I actually did sign up for Spanish lessons, and I had taken 3 years in high school and college. And so I had some basis of it. But I was in those lessons for like 3 months, and we start getting into these verb tenses. And there's like, you know, 16 different verb tenses, you know, past participles, all this stuff. And you got to learn that language, you really have to work on memorization. And then at a certain point, you've got to speak Spanish every day. You got to, you got to either have a person you're talking to, a native speaker, or you move to the place like Costa Rica and where you can speak it every day. And I quit taking those lessons because I remembered why I'd quit taking Spanish back in college. I was like, because it's hard. And if you're not willing to put in the work, it's not going to work out. And if that wasn't the most important thing to me, and I can live without speaking Spanish. But when I was working, I was letting this idea, this thought that work is preventing me from doing this cool thing that I want to have. And so that was one of those things where you go, oh, I guess it's not the most important thing to me. So go take those Spanish lessons. Go take your cooking lessons. Go to open mics. Start doing comedy. Get out there and fail. Right. Try to work towards 20 or 30 minutes worth of material. You're going to find out it's pretty freaking hard. And there's a lot of people out there who are just as funny as you are. And at a certain point, it's about will as much as it is about talent and natural talent. And I'm kind of at that point right now where I'm like, do I have the will to really get to the next level of comedy? I'm pretty darn funny. I'm naturally talented, but do I have the will to get me where I want to go comedically? So don't let your brain play games with you to say, oh, this job is preventing you from doing it. Look at what that job is providing. It's providing you an income. It's providing you benefits. And by the way, those are really valuable. Even if you have money, we spend $25,000 a year insuring our family for like $9,000 deductible policies. It's terrible. That job is providing you with an answer to what do you do. It's providing you with, as Maslow's hierarchy would say, belongingness and self-esteem, that you're probably not thinking about being a very positive part of work, but it is. So do it part-time. Don't neglect the dream, but don't just scrap everything and think that's the only way to chase it.
It's interesting. As you were saying that, I definitely relate to that as it comes to pursuing our passions, jobs, but also with relationships, that like, if you're not willing to do the work at a certain point, you're not going to be successful. If you just think it's going to happen on your own, if you think, oh, I want to be a stand-up comedian. Yeah, I get the whole part-time thing. And from that approach, it's good. But if we're talking about finding meaning and happiness in a relationship, the same thing ultimately applies. When it gets hard, if you're just like, no, this isn't for me, and that's okay, but you're not going to succeed, is such a funny word to use with the relationship, but like, to be content. And as you said earlier in the conversation, relationships are the most important things in these studies in our lives. And that's not just romantic relationships. I found a lot of fulfillment through focusing on my friendships. And I think that's a huge part of this too, is just so much. This is a relationship advice podcast, romantic relationships. But I like to talk about to our listeners, like, cultivate those friendships, because maybe that emptiness that you're kind of feeling that you're not getting from your romantic partner, it's not about your partner. And often it's about us regardless, but it's like, what's your friend circle like? You know, how do you relate to that?
I think if you don't know how to be a good friend, it's going to be a hard time being a good partner. You know, I mean, like the author, when you were saying that, it made me think of the author, Mark Manson, who wrote the book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. He doesn't ask what your dreams are. He asks, what pain are you willing to endure? And that certainly has, that will tell you whether or not your dream is to speak Spanish or be a stand-up comedian or be a surfer or whatever it is. Like, when you say, I'm willing to endure whatever pain it takes, I think marriage is a lot like that, in the sense that and relationships are like, I'm willing to endure X, but not Y. I'm not willing to endure infidelity on behalf of my partner. I'm not willing to endure financial recklessness to the point where I will stay in a relationship with somebody who has a massive gambling problem or an addiction or something like that. That doesn't mean you're not willing to work on it, but it means at a certain point you have to say, we've done everything we can. The pain is not going to change, and I'm not willing to endure that. And money in relationships just provides so many different ways for pain to enter the conversation. And so I think being aware of what's tolerable and what's intolerable, especially as it relates to money with your partner, is it's good to explore and it's good to know.
Totally. And we talk about that a lot as boundaries. And I love
Correct.
That same, just a different word for it, but I love that framing of like, rather than, we definitely want to understand what we want from a relationship, from a job, but going to the inverse is like, what's the boundary? What are we not willing to accept?
Well, it could be on the upside or the downside, right? And I just said, well, I'm not willing to be in a relationship with somebody who has a gambling problem. Okay. Well, are you on the same page with your partner who wants to be a multimillionaire regardless of anything? Like they're going to work 80 hours a week and they're going to neglect their relationships. They're going to neglect their children because the most important thing in their life is corporate achievement or financial achievement. That's just as likely to be outside the boundaries as is somebody who has a shopping problem or a gambling problem. It's like you need to have a shared vision around what is a peaceful, positive life look like in this relationship. What are we both committed to? In our own ways to creating, what is that life for our family, for our household, or just for the two of us, if there's not kids involved, to say, these are the things we really like, you know what? We commit to 2-week-long vacations at the beach or in the mountains together where we can rebound. And that's a financial commitment. What are you willing to sacrifice to provide for that in your budget? Well, we don't need to, you know, drink $50 bottle of wine, we drink the Turning Leaf, instead. Like, we're going to save money on the little things so that we can commit to those 2 glorious weeks every year, or whatever your individual thing is. Maybe you want a bigger house. You're like, you know what I really want? I want a big yard for the dog. Okay, that's great. What pain are you willing to endure to provide for that in your budget? And so, you know, being on the same page with your partner around money is a really big deal. And it's tricky because by nature, it's an unequal relationship. There's always somebody with more and there's always somebody with less. And conversations around money and relationships aren't just about money. They're about values. They're about your history. They're about your parents. They're about, you know, the vision you have for the person you want to be. And those things are really personal and they're really emotionally charged. And so that's why conversations around money can get so heated sometimes.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, 2 places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Hey, Love Tribe. I just want to ask you a few questions. I want to know why you guys are here. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner? Do you want to feel truly heard? Are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? And let's not forget about the fun. Do you long for those fun, giggly moments at the beginning of your relationship? Over the last decade of hosting this podcast with Chase, these have been our top questions. And we get it. We've been there. And that's why we created Spark My Relationship course, because we wanted to put the tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. So we're offering this course, Spark My Relationship, for only $100 until April 6th. In less than 90 days, this self-paced course will help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner, all while having fun doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 psychologists and therapists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their client. This offer is only going to last until Saturday, April 6th. So head on over to our website, sparkmyrelationship.com, and use the code FLASH24 at checkout to get the course for only $100. That's nearly 60% off, and it won't last. The sale ends April 6th. That's sparkmyrelationship.com and use the code FLASH24 to get our course for only $100.
Yeah, we've had a few episodes on understanding your money personality. People frame it different way. It's your relationship with money. And what's interesting is, and maybe this has come up in your conversations on your podcast, but it doesn't matter. It does matter. I don't want to say it doesn't, but you can have someone that's incredibly wealthy on paper whose relationship with money, because maybe they grew up poor or their parents had, you know, their parents were poor, but they don't want to spend. And so imagine that's in a relationship and that can create all kinds of conflict. But when you understand for yourself and then you're able to share it with your partner, then now you're relating more, you're seeing your partner and not just projecting like, hey, why are you cheap? You're so cheap. You don't want to go on vacation. We have all this money. It's like, no, it's deeper than that.
Correct. And sometimes in my relationship with my wife, I'm the policeman and she's the dreamer, you know? Mm-hmm. And broadly speaking, those are kind of like the two personalities around money when it comes to like, do you believe in saving and preserving and not running out, or are you less worried about that? And that comes back to the way, to the household I grew up in, you know, and how she grew up. And so, you know, we try to strike that balance in between. You know, my fear is that someday we'll run out and that, you know, my job is to preserve our capital and to make sure we're not spending too much and that we're setting the right example for our kids. On the other hand, she pushes me and says, you know, we really should, while the kids are young, we should take this vacation so that we create those memories with them. And you know, we've taken some pretty great vacations that are so much more expensive than I was ready to spend. And I don't regret a single dollar that we spent on those vacations. Now, I'm not advocating, you know, maxing out your credit cards to take your kid to Disney World. I think that's a terrible idea. Don't spend a full paycheck on a Taylor Swift concert ticket. Take your kid to lunch at her favorite restaurant and then go see the movie. Like you can show your kids financial responsibility while also, you know, trying to provide as much as what is reasonable around what their dreams are. But yeah, there's always that tension between sort of like the, should we spend, should we not spend? And if you have two dreamers in a relationship, you're probably going to run up debt. If you have two policemen in the relationship, well then, you know, maybe you're not going to have as much joy in your life because you won't allow yourself to spend that money on the things that will provide you experiences that you would otherwise have a great time having.
Exactly. And it's like so many things with relationships, it's bringing awareness around it, that we're not just operating out of like, I'm a policeman and you know, this is the way it's going to be because that's just naturally how we come out. It's going, oh, wait, I'm this way because my parents were depression era parents. Okay. You know, and forgiving yourself for that, right? Having some compassion towards yourself, communicating that to your partner. So now they understand, oh, when they don't want to spend money, it's not because there's zero fun and they don't want to, you know, be happy. It's because there's a wound there or whatever. And then we relate better.
Yeah. It's a fear. Like something happened to that person, or they're just like, if we do this, then I am a bad person, you know, like, and I don't want to be a bad person. So I joke, I was raised Catholic. And so I joke to say, like, I feel like I deserve to have the money. I just don't deserve to spend it, you know, like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
that comes like way back to, you know, what we were taught on Sundays as kids, you know?
Totally. I want to ask you before we go here, because you've had so many conversations with very interesting people, public figures, famous people, and you have this theme of money and purpose and meaning. Has there been a common thread, or maybe something that kind of set off a light bulb for you that these people are using to find meaning in their life, or that drove them to be successful and through finding that meaning? And if there's any kind of key takeaways that you found?
Oh man, there's so many common threads, and you know, there's a couple of concepts I'll just share that really are important to keep in mind when you're thinking about, oh, I'll be happy if I just have a little bit more. That's probably the number one trick our brains play on us. And there's a guy named Michael Norton and Liz Dunn. Mike is a professor at Harvard Business School. They wrote a book called Happy Money. And they did these studies, and this is paraphrasing. It's been a while since I talked to them, but basically they asked people to rank their happiness on 1 to 10. And then they asked them what would it take to get you all the way to a 10? When it comes to how much money would it take to get you all the way to a 10? All the people who answered this said 2 to 3 more times than what I have, including millionaires said that. Everybody thinks they'll be happy if they have just a little bit more. But guess what happens? Okay. You're worth $50,000 and you're like, gosh, I really want to buy a big house. And all of a sudden you buy that big house. And now you're in a neighborhood with people who have more money. And you're like, oh, you know what else? I wanted to join a country club. And then you can make a little bit more money and join a country club. Well, then you're at a place where people have mountain homes and they fly on net jets and stuff like that. And you go, I just want to keep. And so we're always just striving for a little bit more. And, you know, comparison, you've heard the quote, comparison is the thief of joy. That's one of the most important things to keep in mind, because it's a trick that our brains play on us and say, hey, if you just had what that guy has. And it never stops. It never, ever stops. And some of the most successful people, including, you know, like I look at myself and say, I was always a striver. I was a very earnest kid. I was like, I'm going to get good grades. I'm going to go to a good college. I'll go to a good college. I'll get a good grade. Then I'll make money and then I'll be happy. And then at a certain point, you have to catch yourself and say, what do I care about? What are the elements that I want to have in my life that I think lead to a successful life? And when I say successful, I don't mean like accomplished life. I mean, like, I want to be present for my kids. I want to be a good husband. I want to have enough and I want to have good experiences, but I don't want to be foolish with my money. And so you start using that and you go, and you can back into budgets and say, well, that looks like this on an annual basis. And, you know, and maybe I can't go to the 5-star resort, but what's important about that trip anyway? It's not where you go, it's who you're with. And so you engineer your life around what's possible. You don't work. You remind yourself on a daily basis how fortunate you are. Every time my car starts, I think about how stressful it was when I had a junker that broke down all the time. And I just stressed about having to go to the mechanic and put it on my credit card and how that would just increase my debt. And I'd feel guilty and terrible about myself. So if you can remind yourself today how good your life is, you'll want less and you won't worry about what you don't have. You'll be focused on the good stuff in your life and you'll enjoy it more. So those are some of the common themes. And everybody does it, dude. Everybody. You just got to catch yourself so you don't ruminate on it and you don't let it ruin your day.
so many gems there. And it made me think of a quote I love about the definition of success. I think it was Tony Robbins. The guy has all these great quotes, but it's his definition. I could be wrong on the attribution, but success is doing what I want, when I want, with who I want. And I love that.
What's better than that?
Yes. And look, that's a privileged place. But I think if you, and you mentioned engineering your life, if you don't focus on buying the mountain home and you go, you know what? I have enough. Because if I buy the mountain home, then I'm going to have to work more to pay for it. And I'm not going to be able to do what I want.
And it starts when you're 18 years old.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
It starts when you decide whether or not you're going to sign those student loan papers. It starts when you get out of school and you say, I'm not going to take that trip that I don't have the cash to pay for so that I don't get into this horrific quicksand of debt. And you preserve that optionality in every year going on so that you can do who you want, when you want, or do who you want. That's part of that. That's a pretty good thing, yeah. Too, right? Doing who you want, presuming that he or she is providing consent. No, that you can do what you want, when you want, with whom you want. Like that all based, that's all, that is a statement of freedom. And it's important that you preserve your financial freedom by not indulging in shit you can't afford, especially early on.
I love it. Well, I think there's a lot of great stuff that will reach our listeners. And I think it all relates to living a happier life and better relationships. Because if you're engineering your life and you're pursuing the things that fill you up rather than the mountain house, like you're going to show up better in with your friends, with your family, with your romantic partner. You know, it's all connected. So, well, Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you online, about your podcast, and then we'll say goodbye?
Absolutely. So my podcast is called Crazy Money. It's available on all podcast apps. My Substack is called Money and the Meaning of Life. And I write short essays every couple of weeks about the same kind of stuff I talk about. And live comedy. You can see all my live comedy shows at paulollinger.com. I'll be in Nashville at Zany's on February 28th and in San Francisco at Cobb's Comedy Club on February 22nd. Other dates coming up in Denver, Raleigh, and Washington, D.C. So come out if you can.
Awesome. We will have those links in our show notes and on our website. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Chase.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.